Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we assemble ourselves in this thy sanctuary in this evening hour. We have thy word before us, and that gives us comfort, that gives us joy. Father, and we know that thy word is life. Lord, the meaning of thy word and the truth that comes forth from it, Father, we know that it gives life and even more abundantly, Lord, and we'd give thee the thanks for that. And so we just pray thee that as we would read its pages and meditate upon it, Father, may it be that our gathering together would not be in vain, but that we would take to heart this message, Lord, that thou wouldst have for each and every one of us, and that we would use it, we would walk thereby, and that our lives would be blessed, and that we would come to know thee in a fuller measure. Lord, this is our prayer, and we would ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn and read together the parable of Jesus Christ of the laborers in the vineyard that would be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, thankful for the opportunity to gather together round about thy precious and living word, to gain a glimpse into the words of Jesus Christ, who has taught us what the kingdom of heaven is like. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy call is abundant and merciful and goes out even unto the 11th hour. We have many opportunities to read thy word and to gather freely. Lord, help us not to take it for granted or to assume that we deserve something because of the efforts that are made. But Lord, we know that when we come to thy presence, and when we seek thee with all of our heart, with a sincere and a good heart, Lord, we have a blessing that fills our cup to overflowing, and we have need of nothing and we lack no good thing, but are thoroughly furnished unto all things that we need to live this life before thee in fear and godliness, and to approach thy face, Lord, for thy mercy, to ask for grace and thy help in time of need. Lord, where is there a people that is so blessed, that has a God so near unto them, as thou art to us in all of our needs, when we come before thee, when we cry out before thee, and ask thee for thy blessing? And so that is what we do when we gather together to read thy word and to meditate and worship thee. We gather together also to worship and pray that thou would fill our needs as thou dost see fit and according to thy good and perfect will. Lord, there are many miles that have been traveled as we count all the people that have gathered together this evening. There have been many hours that have been sacrificed in total as we count the congregation. All these efforts, yet what we need is thy presence. What we need is thy spirit. We ask that thou would come and be present with us. We come to worship thee, and we come also to support one another. We support our brother who's going to meditate and share from the word. Use him as a tool in thy hand and as an emptied vessel, Lord, that thy word might flow freely, that each and every one that has come might receive a blessing and go away with a work to do. For thou art desiring laborers to work in thy vineyard. Lord, help us to grasp a vision of what thy intent is for our lives, that we would be able to occupy till thy return, that we would bring honor and glory to thy name through yielding ourselves as a living sacrifice to thy honor and thy glory. Pray for thy blessing in all things, for we need thee each and every hour. We pray for even those that could not gather with us. Visit them. We know that each and every one needs thee. Help us to understand and see that reality as it is. Let us look up to thee in faith, doubting nothing, that we would receive from thy good and according to thy riches in Christ Jesus all that we have need of, and give thee the thanks, give thee the praise and the honor, and in joy and in the abundance that we have received, support one another to walk this life of faith until we would close our eyes in death and enter upon an eternity blessed with thee. Lord, for those that do not have that hope within them of eternal life in Jesus Christ, we pray that the call would go forth yet again and that there would be those that would respond with willingness in their hearts and submission unto thy word. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy mercy, all thy blessings, all the challenges that we face. Lord, thou dost know that how thou art refining us. Help us to have that patience and allow thy work to be done and thy will to be accomplished in our lives, that we would be brought forth brighter and more to thy honor and thy glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It seems that every time we gather together and a brother offers a prayer, I'm just reminded again of the beauty and of the power that's there when we come before the Lord together as a congregation and we ask through one voice but through many thoughts the petitions of the Lord in faith, believing in faith and recognizing that he can do all things, and he can do that through us. And individually, you've all prayed that we would receive a blessing. And so there's power in the prayers that are offered, whether individually or collectively. There is great power in that, and especially when we have that faith that we are praying to the Almighty God, and there is none beside. And he hears our prayers. He cares, and he listens. And so I'm reminded of that anew in this evening hour, and I'm thankful for that. The Lord Jesus, one of his attributes was that he was a great teacher. He was a rabbi, and he taught with power. The people recognized it. The Jews recognized it. The scribes recognized it. The common people recognized it. He was a great teacher. And Today, typically in an educational setting, there are PowerPoints and there are bullets that explain a topic and give some meaning or some background to certain topics. And it's perhaps a good way to learn. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the ultimate teacher. And when he taught in parables. He taught in using stories that the common people could understand. They could relate to it. And then it became an unforgettable teaching moment. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ here did when he spoke at this parable, is that he brought forth a story that they could relate to, they could understand, and the different aspects of it, and it sunk in a little deeper for them rather than through PowerPoint. So Jesus here is teaching of the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. And he taught in other places throughout the Gospels too of what the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God, what it's like. And he taught this topic with beautiful teachings, with a beautiful story that the people could relate to and understand and receive a blessing and receive instruction from. And so the setting is that there was a certain householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Again, the people could understand this. There's a landowner, he had a farm, and he would hire laborers to come into his vineyard and have them work it. And he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, and he sent them into his vineyard. That was the agreement. They were called, they wanted to work, he needed their services, and there was an agreement that was made. The wage rate for the day would be a penny. That was established, and that was good. And what Jesus here is teaching through this parable is that God is all-powerful. God is sovereign. He can do all things, and yet with that sovereignty, he is good. Sovereignty means to have full authority, supreme power, and there is none that can refute that power. There is none that can. And so the Lord Jesus is teaching, God is this ultimate power. He is the ultimate owner of all things. But not only that he has this power, he is good as well. That's what Jesus Christ here is teaching about who God is. There have been many a men who have had power and great power in this world. Nebuchadnezzar was one, Nero was another, Stalin and Hitler were others. They had a lot of power. What they said, it came to pass. They had power, but they weren't good. God has supreme power, all power, and at the same time, God is good. And so Jesus is teaching here that as this householder calls laborers into his vineyard, he's calling us into his vineyard. He's calling us to be laborers and servants of his in his kingdom. It's his vineyard. It's all his. So he agreed with the householder agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. So it was that there was an agreement made that they would work, but there was an agreement made as to what their wage rate was. But it was beautiful that this householder would call, even throughout the day. He would go back to the marketplace. He went there early in the morning. He went back in different increments of the day, the third and the sixth and the ninth hour, and he tells them, go work, and whatsoever is right, you will get paid. And then he says, at about the 11th hour, when there's just a little bit left of work time in the day left, he goes out there and he finds others yet still standing idle there. And he saith unto them, why do you stand here all the day idle? This is the Lord Jesus, even in lives today, that he calls them even until the 11th hour, even until the sunset of their lives, he calls. And he's saying, why do you stand here all the day idle? And then the response came, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. This is God, sovereign and good. And he's saying, whatever is right, even if you've come at the last hour, just to basically wrap up the tools and put them away, if you've come at that point, whatever is right, that you're going to receive. And so when the even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is, again, what he's teaching, that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. It would have been much easier for the householder to say, well, those that came first, let them come first. We'll give them their penny. They'll be on their way. And then they won't see that the last also got a penny. It would have probably been better for labor relations if he would have gone that route, but that's not the way God works. Because Jesus clearly is teaching here that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And so in the presence of those that came first and bore the burden in the heat of the day, they were witnesses, and the householder says, now give to the last that came at that 11th hour, that haven't even broke a sweat, let them have their penny in the presence of those that came in the first hour. That's who God is. He is sovereign. He is able to do that. And that was good and right in his eyes. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. So those in the 11th hour received their wages in the presence of those that came first and bore the heat and the burden of the day. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. They made an assumption. They made an agreement earlier. They said, we'll work for a day's wage for a penny. They made that agreement. That was good, and that stood. But now that they see that those that came last received the same wage, Now the Bible says here that they supposed, they had an expectation. Well, if they got a penny, then now that agreement is no good. We should receive more. They had an expectation. We likewise go through life. We don't have the full picture of everything. God does. We don't. We have very limited knowledge or capacity to know all things. But God knows all things. And so sometimes we'll make an assumption and we'll have an expectation. And then that expectation is not met, and it's met then with disappointment. And then that disappointment leads to complaining, and then that complaining leads to bitterness, and then that bitterness leads to defilement. The Bible says, take heed lest any man be come to a point of bitterness, and many are defiled thereby. It can easily head that way with our carnal nature, that when we suppose we have an expectation, this is the expectation. This would be good and fair and right in our sight, but perhaps not in God, who knows all things, but in our, we may have some expectations. Those expectations can lead to disappointments, to complaining, to bitterness, to defilement. If we are not walking in the Spirit, if we are not careful. So, the Lord continues on and says, and when they that came that were hired about the, I already read that, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. They were complaining. And the Lord, if we recall, the children of Israel, as they departed from Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they complained. And the Lord was very displeased with their complaining, with their murmuring. They complained about everything. And God says, the Bible says that God destroyed them because of their murmuring. And so it was here that they were likewise murmuring. They murmured against the good man of the house. Wouldn't it have been better if these who have borne the burden of the day, okay, they labored, they had it difficult, and then they see that those that came late got that same wage? Wouldn't the better response have been, wow, thank God that they got that much money for their wages? They should have rejoiced with them. They should have been thankful for the graciousness and the kindness of the householder. That's the attitude that they should have had. And we ought to have that as well. When we see something maybe that we're bearing a burden and maybe somebody else is not bearing too much of a burden, that we ought to be thankful in whatever it is that God places upon us. But he answered unto one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" This is the graciousness of God toward us as well. He called those who were complaining against him and saying he did it wrong. He responds and says to them, "Friend." He calls those that were complaining against them, "Friend." That's the graciousness of God toward us as well. That God is gracious to us when sometimes we just don't understand everything. That God is good to us, and he calls us friend as well. He does us no wrong. Why? Because God is good. God has the larger picture. God is from generation to generation, and from everlasting to everlasting. We are just here for a short time. He sees the bigger picture. He knows all things, and God is good. God is good. He will do us no wrong. Of that we can be assured of. And this is what the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is, that he will do us no wrong. He says, "Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee." You have your wage. You have what was agreed to. It's yours. Now go ahead and go your way. And he says, "I will give unto this last even as unto thee." I will give. It's his prerogative. He is sovereign. He can do as he pleases. He knows all things. He can give. He can give as he sees fit. And then he says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" Wouldn't it be right and proper? Is what this is saying. Wouldn't it be right and proper that I can do what I will with mine own? The Lord owns it all. That we know. That we are assured of. He spoke the worlds into place. Everything belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the Bible says. He owns it all. The beasts of the forest are his and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Everything belongs to him. Everything is his. We own nothing of ourselves. Nothing of ourselves. Everything is his. Whatever we might be stewards of, that was what God gave us in the first place. Nebuchadnezzar came to realize this. Nebuchadnezzar says, "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever." This is God. This is who knows all things, who is sovereign. He lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is a kingdom that lasts and is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar thought he knew everything. He thought he was in power. He had a kingdom that was very large. But he came at the end of his days to realize this, that God's kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's us. That's previous generations. We're reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven. This is God. He will do according to his will. Is it not good to do what I will with mine own? Is it not lawful? God is asking. Surely it is. And among the inhabitants of the earth, he can do this among us. whatever it is that he will, because he is sovereign, because he can do all things, because he is that supreme ruler among all the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? None. There is nobody that can stay his hand and say, no, you can't do that, God. No one can do that. Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was all-powerful, was humbled, and he came to that realization. We need to always have that realization as well, that God can do everything. It's his prerogative to do as he sees fit with his own. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called and few chosen. This is the parable. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ. The last shall be first and the first last. This is the way of the kingdom of heaven. Ours is to be content with that. With what God, in his sovereignty, in whatever he would like to do, we need to simply just be content with that. It's God, it's his, we are his, we're his creation, and we're content with that. Whatever lot in life we might see, we need to be content with that. When we were born, we did not have a choice as to what generation we would be born in, what family we would be born in, whether we would be deformed or not deformed. We didn't have any choice in any of that when we were born into this world. God ordained all that. He is sovereign. When we were born again, God placed us as members into the body of Christ as it hath pleased him, the Bible says. As it hath pleased him. He's given us the talents or the placed us in the places wherever we are to do whatever he would have us to do. He placed us in the body as of Christ as it hath pleased him. And then when we are resurrected, the Bible also says that God will give us a body as it hath pleased him. So when we are born, when we are born again, and when we are resurrected, God is in control of all of that. And we need to be thankful for that. We need to be content with that. We need to give it to him. It's a blessing in our lives when we don't fight against what God had for us. When we're content with what God has for us, life just rolls lot better for us. I'm reminded of a scripture in Romans where it says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him who has formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Shall the creation tell the creator, why did you make me this way?" Can we say, God, what are you doing here? Certainly we can't. We need to commit it all to God and be content with that. Let God use us as he wants us to be used. Let God, in his sovereignty, do with us as he would have us to do. We see later on here in the next three verses that Jesus now tells his disciples, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him up to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. Jesus didn't say, this isn't fair. Why isn't this happening to other people? He fulfilled his Father's will. Likewise for us, we are simply to fulfill the Father's will, whether we're called into the vineyard at an early stage, or whether we're placed in this area of the vineyard or that area of the vineyard, we are simply to give it all to the Lord and be content with what he has for each and every one of us. There's another parable, a teaching of the Lord that teaches us of the kingdom of God that speaks of the parables of the pounds that were given. To one was given, to each of them were given 1 pound, as recorded in Luke 19. It's different in Matthew 25. But each one was given one pound or one to work with, and with one of them gained 5 pounds with the pound he had, and another gained 2 pounds with the pound he had, and the other laid it up in the napkin. And at the end, when the Lord came to receive of them what they had gotten by trading, The last one, we're familiar with this, I'll skip through, and the last one said, you know, I was afraid of you, and so I hid my pound and a talent in a napkin, and here it is for you. And the Lord, in his sovereignty and in his goodness, he could have taken different approaches. He could have said, well, you can just go ahead and keep that one. Or he could have said, well, why don't you give it to the one that has two? No, but God said, no, take that you have and give it to him that has the most. This is God. This is how in his sovereignty, this is how he works. And we need to commit that to him. Joseph had a difficult life. Joseph was sold into slavery. His brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He could have complained. He could have been bitter about it. He could have defiled himself in that, but he committed himself to the Lord. Job had everything taken away from him. Everything. Everything was taken away from Job. Job could have been bitter, could have complained, could have had different expectations, but he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was content with what the Lord had for him, or the trial that he put him through. And then there's another story in the Old Testament where young Samuel receives a message from God, his first message from God. Early in his youth, he receives a message from God. And Eli, the priest, said, Samuel, tell me what God told you, and don't hide anything from me. Samuel, tell me what God told you. And Samuel, probably with some hesitation, told Eli, the priest, said, well, you didn't restrain your sons, and you did some evil things, and so God's going to take away the priesthood from you and from your sons. Eli's response to that was, it is the Lord. Let him do as seemeth him good. He was resigned to it. He was resigned to it. He didn't complain. He didn't get bitter. And he didn't defile himself. Likewise, for us, whatever it is the Lord has for us, whether he brings us to the vineyard early hours or late hours or whatever area of the vineyard he has for us, that we simply say, it is the Lord, let him do as seemeth him good. We are content with what the Lord has for us. There's a song that says, though dark my path and sad my lot, let me be still and murmur not, or breathe a prayer divinely taught, thy will be done. Our lives will be blessed when we can simply say, God is sovereign, God is good. He made me who I am. He hath given me a body as it pleased him. He's going to give me a new body in the resurrection as it pleased him. And we're good with that. We had a sister now that was baptized last Sunday. She came in what would be the 11th hour. And very likely, she will see the Lord before us. Before me, perhaps, very likely. And I'm good with that. Let her see the Lord. We rejoice with her. Rejoice with her that she came in the last hour and that she is given the full wages of eternal salvation. And she will see the Lord. Ours is to do what God would have us to do. He will bless us. He will bless us abundantly. He is good. There is no God like unto him. He is a good God that loves us. He will do great things for us. Let us be content in serving him. Amen.
This evening, as we've meditated upon this parable of Jesus Christ, we've learned about the kingdom of God and about the Lord himself. Kingdom of God is a place where there is much work to be done. And the Lord, he is merciful. He is fair to all. And I believe that all of us can testify that he has been much more than fair to us. Even as it was alluded in the prayer that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's not one of us that would say that, yes, I've worked the full day and I get the wage, the fair wage. We would all recognize we've received much more in an abundance than what we deserve from our Lord. was really touched by the truth that was shared of the bodies that God fashions and ordains for us to have, our physical body, the body that we are placed in after our spiritual rebirth, and the resurrection body. How little we are in control of, but the Lord is in control of all. And may this and the many lessons that we've heard ring within our ears and our hearts and our minds as we go from this place, like good seed that's planted within our hearts to grow to God's honor and glory. May God bless his word. Amen.